You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
We are trying to create disciples. What's a disciple? It's an apprentice, somebody who's following in the footsteps of Jesus, doing what Jesus did. If that's our goal, then the stuff we're doing to invite and bring people could be trackable to say, hey, did we move the needle on connecting with people and inviting them to the point where now they are fully devoted, like Luke 9:23 people. They're carrying the cross daily.
Welcome to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. I am Bart Blair, the brand director for Missional Marketing, and I am joined by what AI tells me is one of the foremost thought leaders in church marketing and communications, the CEO of Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Hamrock.
How'd you like to hear an intro? Don't believe everything you see and read on the internet.
If AI says you are one of the foremost thought leaders in church marketing communications, it must be true.
Well, we've done a good job of optimizing our website, apparently.
We have. And for some reason, everything on our website looks like it's been sourced by Jason Hamrock.
Yeah.
It's all come out of your brain. Yeah. No, we have an amazing, gifted, talented team of people who actually make you and me look really good when we're interfacing and engaging with churches.
Really, really good. Yes, we have a phenomenal team. So, you know, kudos and credits to those guys. They know who they are.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, for those of you who are new to our podcast, we produce this podcast really to help churches grow through leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. We've been producing this podcast since 2020. We've been a little less consistent lately, but man, we're determined to hit episode number 200 in the year 2025. Yeah. I think this is number 169,
All right.
I have my numbers
some work to do.
Correct.
Yep.
And we're going to actually do a relatively brief conversation today, and I'm going to kind of call it a little bit of a follow-up from our last episode. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, make sure that you do. We talked about things that make a marketing campaign effective and different ways to go about approaching marketing campaigns. But I sort of had some thoughts. You and I were in a meeting this morning. You said some stuff and I was like, ooh, you know what? Jason's right. I'm just going to kind of throw out a statement here and then I'm going to kind of interview you on this particular topic. If your church does not have an effective in-person engagement or assimilation strategy, pretty much any marketing campaign that you're going to do is ineffective. It's going to be a waste of money. You could spend a lot of money marketing to your community, doing digital outreach to your community, and actually see those ad campaigns bring people through your front doors. But unless you actually have a specific strategy to connect those people into community, there's a very good chance they come in the front door, they go out the back door, and you never see them again.
Yeah.
So I know you have this conversation with churches all the time. Just give me a little bounce back on what I just said there.
Well, you're right. You can run ad campaigns blindly. Most of us do, with the hope, crossing our fingers, throwing up a prayer that that's going to reach somebody who needs to hear that message, and then they show up to church. We don't know if they showed up. The Lord does. We don't know if they showed up to church or not. And we can do that. And that's what we have to work with. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. Please hear me. Don't stop spending money on digital advertising. That's really, really, really important. But what you're getting to is where my heart goes. And that is, what are we trying to do as a church? And this is a deep question. I won't go too deep into it, but we are trying to create disciples. What's a disciple? It's an apprentice, somebody who's following in the footsteps of Jesus, doing what Jesus did. So go read the New Testament. Go read the Gospels if you want to know what Jesus did. Right? He did worship. He prayed. He gave. He served. I could go. He was in small group.
Yeah.
Different kind of context, but he was in groups. Right. So if that's our goal, awesome. I love that. Okay, that's the target goal. Then the stuff we're doing to invite and bring people could be trackable to say, hey, did we move the needle on connecting with people and inviting them to the point where now they are fully devoted, like Luke 9:23 people, they're carrying the cross daily. And that's kind of where my heart goes, my mind goes. I'm going, how do we make sure that we are developing tools and we're developing systems that are going to be able to, as much as we can, track some of that movement? And that gets really interesting because there's a lot of great tools. We have them that help you see that, but you want to make sure that you've got a plan. And if you don't, if you kind of like don't have a plan, then you know if you're hitting the bullseye.
Yeah, I think there's two sides of this discussion. One is the technical tracking aspect of it, which is if we are getting people in the front doors on Sunday, new guests, new people checking out our church on a regular basis, they're in decision-making mode. They're trying to decide if your church is the right fit for them. Number one, we need to have really clear first steps so that we can collect their information. And then we need to have a very strategic and well-organized process of following up with them and creating additional engagement. The other side of this is actually the cultural and the experience discussion. And this is one where I think as a church leadership team, you need to sit down and have this conversation and ask these two questions. What about a new person's experience in our church on a Sunday morning would prevent them from coming back a second time and be deep and dirty honest with each other? And the second question is, what are the things that we could do better to get people to want to come back a second time? It does you no good to collect people's personal information and have an email sequence and a pastor call and all of that personalized follow-up if their experience wasn't one where they felt like there was a place for them. At the same time, if you've bent over backwards and created this great experience on Sunday morning that's hospitable and welcoming and an easy on-ramp for unbelieving people or pre-Christian people or de-churched people who are coming back to church, and yet you don't have a system and a process for connecting with them and following up, you're missing opportunities there.
Well, and telling them, well, here's the path. Okay, I probably have a need. I want to connect with God. I don't think he knows who I am, or I've got kids and they don't know who he is. And if the assimilation path isn't like, yeah, this is what we're about. I've got a church, and I won't mention, but if they're listening, they'll know who it is. They've got a goal of having in the next 9 years, they want to produce 10,000 people that are living out their half of their essentials. They labeled six essentials, basically six discipleship steps. They want 10,000 people in 9 years doing at least three of those six. Right now they're at
about how many do they have currently?
They have about 1,000. So they have about 3,000 people that attend on a regular basis, but they've identified 1,000 of those people are doing three of these six. So their goal is, I love this because their goal is when you come to this church, yes, you can just kind of get lost. You might have been burned out or you might have been hurt by something, so you can kind of get lost and just kind of take it all in. You're not ready to sign me up. You're not ready quite there. That's fine. But at least I know what the path is. I understand that what you're asking me to do, or you're saying, hey, Jason, if you attend our church and you make this your home and your body and your family, these are the things, these are the elements that if you want to really connect with who God is and what his plan is for your life, you will live out these. And that's what I like about it, because if I have the roadmap, for some people, they're going, just what do I need to do? They don't even know. They don't even read their Bible. They didn't have a Bible, right? So I like what you said there was so good, because they're going to come this Easter, right? We're about to get into the Easter. It's like a month away. And what's going to bring them back? Well, obviously, there's those intangibles like, oh, you guys are really, really friendly. And my kids had a great time. It was easy. I mean, the worship was really good. That guy who talked, he was really, really good. I think I'll come back, right? That's really important. But I think you also want to communicate where we're going with you, you know?
Yeah, we work with a lot of churches, especially because we're kind of at the top of the funnel, connecting with new guests outside of the context of your church family. And the best churches that we work with when it comes to building effective marketing campaigns, they have done the hard work of creating an avatar or a persona for who in their community they're trying to reach.
Yeah.
Now, I would actually say that if you as a church have never actually created the persona for what a growing disciple in your church looks like, it's a really great exercise. You were talking about those six essentials that particular church has put together. I think this is a great exercise. Now, obviously, Jesus is our model, but none of us are actually going to be like Jesus, okay? But we do need to look at sort of the key characteristics and the habits and the personal disciplines of we're not talking elder level or pastor level disciples here. We're talking about the average the average disciple in, you know, Springfield Community Church, whatever your church is, what are those essentials that we see being lived out in their lives? And then we need to reverse engineer a pathway that goes all the way back out to that avatar or that persona from the person in the community that we're trying to reach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we need to, and I'm really big, Jason, on, we want to create a roadmap for people. And I think to some degree, people need to know what the destination is, but most people don't need to know every pit stop or step along the way. They just need to know what's next.
Yeah.
What's the next one thing that you need me to do? Can you talk a little bit about how some churches that you've worked with have kind of created some of those next step opportunities for people in their churches?
Well, I think it's one of those things where if you have, you know, let's talk about prayer. You know, I mean, that's a pretty good essential. You're talking to God. Well, you got to teach them, because most people go, I don't even know how to pray. No, it's not about necessarily closing your eyes and going and have my list of needs. Hey, Lord, keep blessing me. You know, that's not what it's about, right? It's teaching them about, hey, man, you could be driving to work. Don't close your eyes, but you could be talking to God. It's prayer, right? So I think it's like making it so simple. Like, this church has six essentials. And if you read them, you're like, oh, that's easy to understand. Yeah. Be generous, you know, serve one another, right? How do I serve? Just the ins and outs of what we do as a church. We have a food pantry. Come and, you know, donate some food to that. Or we're going to go get some backpacks for the school, or we're going to, whatever it is, right? Just easy stuff. But see, here's the thing. Every church probably listening to us does all this stuff, but it's not really articulated that says these are the ingredients of what creates a disciple. And I think if you can go back to all the way back to somebody who's at the top of the funnel, who might be just checking you out, or maybe they stumbled across something you offer them, like a marriage counseling or something like that, and they are so far from God. They're like, you know, if he even knew half the stuff I did, okay, he knows what you did. He still loves you. And those people right there, we want to just start planting the seeds that this is what the path looks like. And it's lived out daily. And you don't have to overcomplicate it. It's not a checklist, right? And we were just talking about this a little bit ago, Bart. You can give everybody the ingredients, but you can't cause them to cook. They can't make the meal and eat it, right? You can give them stuff and it can go into one ear and out the other. It can go into their head. If it doesn't get down to their heart, that's on them. That's not on us. But sometimes we make it so fuzzy, they don't even know, you know, and they can show up, like you said, they can show up and engage and go, man, I'm not coming back. They don't know me. They don't know me. They don't care about me. I'm not going to come back here. And that's a tragedy, because I want them to realize that they are loved. There is a plan. And this is what it looks like here at our church.
Yeah, I want to comment on what I see when it comes to these types of engagement pathways, discipleship pathways, a common mistake that churches make. And then I want you to kind of speak to maybe some solutions to these problems. One of the steps that we are, one of the mistakes that we often see churches make is that they communicate everything to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, one of our distinctives in our community is that we want you, you know, serving in a ministry. We want you to know your spiritual gifts, and we want you to leverage your spiritual gifts and your talents and your experiences to be serving in ministry. If you're a disciple of Jesus, we believe that you should be baptized. That's a step somewhere along the pathway.
It is.
The challenge, though, is that in church communications, we tend to send the same message out to everyone all the time about everything. And so if I've been in the church for a long time, my tendency is typically to just tune all of that out,
yeah,
because it's so much all the time. If I'm new in the church, it can actually be very confusing to me, because you're sending me mixed messages on what my next step might be. Should it be get baptized, or should I be serving in a ministry, or should I be in a small group, or should, like, what should I be doing? Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how maybe using email, using text messaging, using an app, a church might be able to better develop a communication process that allows them to customize and tailor the communication to people where they are on the pathway?
Oh, it is so critically important that you know who your people are. And your church management system is kind of the hub for all that. And if you don't really have that, you really need to talk with Bart or myself. We'll help you. We don't do church management systems, but we will give you guidance. So most people have a church management system where all that data is stored. If you looked up me, I go to a church, and if you looked at me and my family, you would see that we attend, that we give, that we serve, that we're in a group, that those kinds of things, or we're not, right? You would see when we were baptized, when we said yes to Jesus, that kind of stuff. So all that's in a church management system. What Bart's saying is you can have specific tools, and we can introduce you to them, on how you can segment. Like, for example, if you're going to have a baptism weekend, why on earth would you invite the entire church? You might announce that we're going to have a baptism weekend, but you should have specific messages to people who have not yet been baptized. And why should you get baptized? And don't just say, hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a baptism weekend. If you ever thought about being baptized, now's your chance. I don't think people are thinking about getting baptized. Instead, you tell a story. You know, meet Mike, who was this guy. He was a biker dude and blah, 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 blah. And he gave his life to Jesus and he got dunked. His story is off the hook. It's amazing what God did in his life. That is the cool, that you can tell a story. And then you're inviting people, hey, if this is you, you haven't been baptized, be like Mike. That's a slogan. That just came out. People are going, what are you talking about?
There are about 8 people who know what that reference is. I am one of them, but there's a lot of people who have no idea what you're talking about.
But you can segment your audience. If you want to reach moms of, you know, kids that are like first through third grade or something like that, your church management system can help you segment that list, and then you can have direct communication to them via email or your text messages or even in the app. Those tools exist. So as you get new people that come in and they self-identify, you want to learn as much as you can about them so that you can help them on their journey and communicate with them well. And I tell you, the churches I work with that are doing that, their engagement is up and to the right, like nobody's business, because they actually are communicating a specific message to the right person. Then there's some, you just get it to everybody, right? Because it's all church-wide. But boy, breaking it down and making sure, that's like comms 101 to have a really, really targeted message to that right audience.
Yeah, every church leader can probably relate to this example that I'm going to give. Children's ministry director comes to me, the pastor, whatever, and says, I need some volunteers. Can you announce on Sunday that we need volunteers for children's ministry? And so pastor gets up on stage on Sunday morning and makes an announcement. We need volunteers for children's ministry. And usually that results in about nothing. No one signs up for children's ministry. Now, the opposite would be the most effective way, which is the children's ministry director specifically takes a list of people that they know could be really, really good gifts to that ministry and goes and taps people on the shoulder and says, hey, I'm having an interest meeting for people who might be interested in serving in the children's ministry. Would you come to that interest meeting just to hear? I'm not asking you to make a commitment to serve in the ministry, but just come to the lunch. Now, you get 5, 6, 7 people that come to that lunch. They've had a personal tap on the shoulder from either the children's ministry director or someone who serves in that ministry. You're going to have some of those people that are going to show up, and a few of them are going to actually say yes, because that personal connection is so powerful. What we're talking about is kind of a middle ground. It's a little less personal, but it's far less generic than the platform announcement, which is utilizing targeted email, targeted text messaging, or targeted app engagement that sends direct messaging to people who you think, hey, our church management software says, number one, you aren't serving in a ministry. We're not verbalizing this, but this is what we're saying in the back end. Our church management software says you're not serving in a ministry. It says that you are a disciple of Jesus who has been baptized, and that you have interests in arts, crafts, and painting, or music and theater, or whatever your interests are. We're going to segment an audience with those people and send a message to them that, again, probably starts with telling a story about how some life of a child was impacted by their children's ministry small group leader, or the youth ministry worship leader, or whoever it is, right? Tell that story to really heighten the level of engagement and the possibility that people will take their next step.
When my son was in elementary school, I served along the way in the different grade groups. And I always thought we could easily get other dads. We could send an email that says, hey, Jason, CJ needs you in his Sunday school class and his buddies because he needs an adult leader. And like you're leading your son. spend time with him on Sunday with him and his friends who need a leader. We absolutely need some help here because we're growing too fast. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I could really spend some time with my son and his buddies in the fourth or fifth or sixth grade boys classroom and you know, give an hour a week. That's not a bit very big demand on my schedule. It's on Sunday, right? So you could be kind of creative in that messaging. But your point is, first of all, you got to be able to identify the list. Then you can kind of get creative on what that message should be. It should always be through the context of a story.
Yeah. Now, to rewind to where we started this conversation, which is you're probably wasting your money if you're marketing, inviting people to come to your church, and you don't have a clear and specific way to help them take their first steps and their next steps. And obviously, again, going back to it, culturally, you need to make sure that culturally your weekend worship experience is one that's full of hospitality, that it's an easy on-ramp for people who are far from God, who are kicking the tires of faith for the very first time, or maybe they're just new in the community and they're looking for their new spiritual home, their new church family. But the second thing is you have to have a system and a process for, number one, getting their information, and number two, communicating to them in an effective and consistent way that helps them know and understand what their next steps need to be. And so that's kind of where we started. That's kind of where we'll end. You have any parting shots on this before we wrap this episode up?
No, but if you are wondering how do I even do that, you know, reach out to us. We'd love to talk with churches and explain and go deeper because, you know, it's all personalized based on what tools you have and what your leadership is trying to accomplish. And those are great questions to ask and just kind of throw around. So I'd say schedule some time with Bart or myself or any one of our coaches and we can help lead through that conversation.
Yeah, if you're a partner church with Missional Marketing, you already have a coach and you can engage with your coach and say, hey, I listened to this episode and can you get me on a call with Bart or Jason to talk about this? And they'd be happy to do that. If you're not a partner church with Missional Marketing, you don't use our services, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. No shame on you. Go to our website, missionalmarketing.com, and you can actually schedule a call and just put in the notes. I think you can directly schedule a call with Jason and maybe you get Jason or maybe you get me. I know I'm not one of the foremost thought leaders in church communications and marketing because AI didn't say so. But I'd be happy to get on that call and help out as well. Hey, if you made it to the end of this episode, we thank you so much for sticking with us. This was a little bit abbreviated compared to what our usual episodes are. If you haven't yet subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, make sure that you do that. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure you give us a thumbs up. You can leave a comment there. We'd love to engage with you. Otherwise, until we get to our next episode, I'm Bart Blair with Jason Hamrock. See you later.
See ya.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.